As we take a look at these things here, as we talk about seeking the Lord. Okay, well, let's, thank you. Well, let's pray together. Now, Father, we pray once again that you'll help us to read your word with greater understanding, with greater wisdom. And we pray that you would teach us how to understand how we can extol you and to look for things that are far deeper. We pray for your blessings as we read your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we take a look at Psalm 30 once again. And I hope that it will help you to understand how you can look at these things here. This is absolutely important. Okay? So as we begin Psalm 30, when we began by looking at how the psalmist says, I want to extol you, I will extol you. Right? Well, let's look at the different words that the psalmist use to describe this idea of, first, the idea of thanksgiving. 106, 107. Let's take a look very quickly. And 106, and we will see this, 106, 105, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. 106, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. 107, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Right? So that's where it begins. Now, as we take a look further, thanksgiving, to give thanks, is just simply look at the blessings of life and we say we can give thanks. And it's pretty straightforward. Right? When we receive something, so all the young ones will be receiving ang pao, they say thank you, thank you. That's it. Right? Now, you don't have to say, well, I praise you. No need. Thank you, good enough. So where does praise come in? And very often, praise is associated with something that is so stirring, you want to sing his praise. Take for example, right? Look at 108. My heart is steadfast, I will sing and give praise. Now, so that's the next level. So the idea of praise becomes something that is real. So we go on to the next level, right? So then, of course, thanksgiving, bless the Lord. Then we go on to the next level. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Usually, when you look at the word blessing, it's associated with a series of blessings, a series of benefits. One is probably not going to cause you to break out in a song. But when you see a series, then you begin to realize, wow, the Lord's blessings, so the Lord's goodness is so great, so rich, so then you cannot, but you want to bless the Lord. I think that's important. So we don't even know how to say thanks. We don't know how to give praise. How do we go into blessing? The extolling stage is a little bit higher. That's what we're looking at. Okay, Psalm 30. Psalm 145, and the extol always is the deeper level. You don't look at the physical. You look at what's behind it, what's beneath it. Right? So David would say, one generation shall praise your works to another. Right? This works. That's surface. I will meditate on the glory of your majesty beneath. You see, that's what extolling is all about. So as we trace the idea of extolling in Psalm 30, you begin to realize, you have lifted me up. Right? Now, does the Lord have to lift him up? No. Now, you want to understand how this idea of lifting up, it is harder than you think. So you need to look. Sometimes these psalms are what we call short, pithy statements. You watch the greater level. Then you say, the Lord has lifted me up. Look, and you've not let my foes rejoice over me. Look at Psalm 38, for example. It's an example. Okay? Look at Psalm 38 and compare. Remember, these psalms are not chronological in any sense. But as you look at a psalm, this is a psalm of remembrance. So Psalm 38. Right? So it says, do not chasten me in your hot displeasure. This is Psalm 6. Almost the same words. Do not rebuke me in your wrath. Do not chasten me in your... This is Psalm 6. Same verse. 6:1, 38:1. Very obviously. See? Your arrows pierce me deeply. Your hand presses me down. No soundness in my flesh because of your anger. No health in my bones because of my sin. Iniquities have gone over my head. Heavy burden, too heavy for me. Now, those were his problems, obviously. Right? So then the Lord lifted him up. So when we read at Psalm 3 about how Absalom rebelled, and how when he rebelled, the whole kingdom was set in disarray. There was so much turmoil. Right? The question is, will God lift him up? Will he restore him as king? That was the question. Because if the enemies get hold of David, he's finished. They will tear him from limb to limb. You have not let my enemies rejoice over me. Now, those are not small things. Those are huge things. That is why we have the idea of extolling coming in. Right? So this is huge. When we look at the idea of extolling, it is far bigger than we think. Now, that's what we are looking at very carefully. I hope you understand what we're trying to look at. It is really, really a big challenge for us to consider. Okay? So this is what he was reading. So Psalm 30 looks at some of these things here. You have brought my soul up from the grave. That's why he says 38. Now, you take a look at Psalm 55, similar idea. Right? Look at Psalm 55 and you will see this. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. You have not let my foes rejoice over me. So this becomes a real challenge. Right? So he said, cried out, and you healed me. You brought my soul out from the grave. So Psalm 38 and 55 will give you an idea of how David felt during those times. Is it enough to sing, to give thanks? Obviously not. You've got to sing praise. You give thanks. So the idea of giving thanks, giving praise, blessing, and extolling will come together in a whole nutshell, as it were. Okay, then we talk about how in his prosperity, the Lord raised him up and he forgot. Right? He forgot. You hid your face and I was troubled. See, unfortunately, David had to learn the same lesson again and again and again. Repeat. He's in trouble, but this is Psalm 78, actually, very much the same. Right? Where the psalmist says, describing Israel, Israel cried out to the Lord saved them, Israel went back to sin, then came back to the Lord, went back to sin, came back to the Lord. You wonder whether what they learned, did they learn anything at all? Well, David was determined that he would learn. Right? So this is something, David. I cried out to you. Remember, sometimes the problems in life are good things. They will make you cry out to the Lord. They really, really, really will. Otherwise, we won't cry out to the Lord. We just take life too much for granted. Cry out to the Lord. Make supplication. The person who prays because his life is in danger is the person who prays best. Very often our lives are so comfortable, we don't seek the Lord. So what do you do? We need to seek the Lord. I cried out to you. Same, read Psalm 3. Lord, how they have increased who rise up against me. How many are there who say there is no help for him in God? In Psalm 3, 1 and 2. Right? I cried out to you, Lord, because you're the only one who can help me now, that I made supplication. What's the difference between supplication and not? Usually the word cry out literally means outpouring, literally. Not actual tears. So crying out doesn't mean tears. It really means an outpouring of the heart to the Lord, and it makes supplication. See, very few of us understand what it really means to seek the Lord in supplication. But we need to learn this, because otherwise we have a real problem. But remember, this is also one of those developmental psalms. It's not a full, complete understanding yet. And so he still struggles. So he asks the Lord, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Now, this is human reasoning, not a best state of mind. Right? You mean the Lord needs you to praise him? Nobody else? You got the best voice? You're the best musician? You're the best what? Don't get too high on your horse. Because that is always a big problem. Right? So David won't be wrong. I cried to you, Lord. And so I asked the Lord. See, he's still struggling with his prayer. Remember, he is struggling. So he will say things that perhaps sometimes are not the wisest thing to say or the best things to say. But he's saying it honestly, candidly. I'm not saying that he's the wisest prayer to be made at this point of time. But he's just thinking, Lord, you know, in my life, I praise you. If I die now, I'm not going to be able to praise you anymore. Please do not think that God needs our praises. It's a privilege just to be able to praise the Lord. It really is a privilege, which we don't want to take for granted in any way at any time. Right? But you see, what he's really trying to tell us right now is to realize that we are in desperate straits at this point of time. And a person who is in desperate straits will pray very differently. I think you all understand, right? We all know. The question is, what are we looking at? Like, see, after a while, we take for granted anything and everything. Now, we always be, well, the common saying is, you don't really die from prostate cancer. You die, you know, you don't die of it, you die with it. So you don't even think about it. Until you begin to realize that people do die of it. Then he's still, maybe I ought not to take this for granted. See, that's our problem. See, a lot of life is taken for granted. All right? So here, watch this very, look at things taken for granted. One, okay, God has delivered David from his enemies. Right? He has lifted him up. So in other words, he was restored. So he gave thanks. Sing praises to the Lord. God was angry. Psalm 38 reflects this very clearly. Your anger, he knew that God was angry with him for letting things go like that. And he knew it. So God was angry. But the Lord restored him. Right? So that's number two. So now God bless him. Prosperity comes. So what do we do with that prosperity? We forget the Lord. You see the movement over here? So look at verses 1 and 2. You begin to realize the Lord was there. I cried to the Lord and you healed me. Right? Now I cry to the Lord again. See, we're not looking at the same problem. We are reflecting the fact that we are remembering things along the way. There were difficulties along the way. We cried out to the Lord. The Lord raised us up. The Lord rescued us. Then we fell into problem. In this case here, affluence. And then we start all over again. Now we have another problem. Right? So the first one, enemy. Second one, healing that was needed. Okay? Now we go on. God's anger, everything else. Now the problem of affluence being raised up, the Lord had to help deal with him again. Stop it, David. And I cried to the Lord, make supplication. Now he's near death. You see, so we should repeat. Unfortunately, this is something that we need to. And so he has to cry out at this time, verse 9 to 10. Okay? So you can imagine the struggles between 8, 9, and 10. Look at the struggles that are there. Right? I cry to the Lord. So he's reasoning, even as he cried out to the Lord, you know, what profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? He's still thinking about what he wants to do for the Lord. If I can praise you and declare your truth, I can tell people about you. Listen, let's learn this lesson once and for all. The Lord doesn't need us. He doesn't need you. At any time that we can speak for him, of him, is a real privilege. So let's answer this question. Rhetorical, but let's answer. What profit is there in my blood? None. True. Okay? Will the dust praise you? True. Not. What? So what if you are alive to praise? What does that mean? You're only one person. The world is a large place. What makes you think who you are? See, the problem with it all. Can you see this? So this line of reasoning and thought stopped. And then in verse 10, hear, O Lord, have mercy on me. Be my helper. See? Can you see the movement? Right? So obviously he's in trouble. So he takes it. So his heart feels. You know, you can sometimes be very caught up with how you feel about yourself. And I got this gift, I can do this, I got this, I can make, I can write songs, I can do music, you know, I can, he's a sweet psalmist of Israel. You know, he was literally a poet laureate. He was literally, you know, classed by himself. Nobody writes as many psalms as David. The Lord needs you, David? Really? Seriously? Is that how you want to pray? See, the worst thing is that we all feel that wow, I'm somebody. You drop dead today, tomorrow, and the world will still move on. That approach is not great. What's the better approach? What's the correct approach? Oh Lord, have mercy on me. You see, the idea of crying out to the Lord, supplication, is the idea of intensity. See, so not just praying, I am intensely praying to the Lord. But you see, deep down, all of us, deep down, we all think we are somebody. That's why Paul cautions, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. The Lord does not need me to write Micah. Whether I read Micah or not is not the point. He does not need me. He really doesn't. Now this is a very humbling thought because it changes the way. Remember, this is a rhetorical question. He's talking to himself. He's not looking for an answer. Very often, this rhetorical question is what we call a soliloquy. You're thinking, talking aloud. If you really want to find the answer is no. The Lord need you? Not really. Really, he doesn't. See, if I'm not the next king, who's going to be? The Lord's plans, His wisdom is unsearchable. He doesn't need you. Doesn't need me. See, the whole tone changes now. And he says, Lord, hear, O Lord, have mercy on me. The moment you say, have mercy, you no longer say, will the dust praise you. See, so there's a movement from 8, 9 to 10. And most of us need to go through that movement too. And the best prayer is one where we tell the Lord, please have mercy. What is mercy? Right? If I need mercy, the Lord doesn't need me because I need Him. He doesn't need me. See the difference? You think the Lord needs you, really? Now that is a humbling, humbling reality. How can we do this? So there he says, oh Lord, help, have mercy on me instead. Right? See, this is a prayer that is very, very, very hard to make. So you need to read Psalm 38 and Psalm 55. Psalm 38 a little bit more so that you can see, get a feel of this idea of what it is, to understand what it is. Okay, he is afraid of God's anger. The flesh, there is no soundness. Okay, then in verse 4, my iniquities have gone over my head. Remember, you got to think of these things here. So sometimes the texts that don't have a whole lot of explanation must be read in view of other texts that explain in full. So you have a condensed version versus a full version. See, some of the Psalms of David were written like that. So some of the statements which are just short, pithy statements, to understand them, you've got to read them in the context of. So talking about soundness, talking about sin, talking about iniquity, then you've got to read Psalm 38. See, many people read Psalm 32, Psalm 51, 51, but they're not familiar with Psalm 38. You want to look at Psalm 38 and see the real state of sin. Look at this. My iniquities have gone over my head. You're sinking. You're drowning. See, many people don't realize their iniquities. Unfortunately, my wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. See, how foolish can we be? Very. See, his state because of his foolishness. Do you take a look at the state of David's life? Many of those things were really because of foolishness. That's why he had so many problems in his life. Foolishness. We keep on thinking too highly of ourselves. It's one big problem. And that is a dangerous thing. So I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Okay? See, you turn my mourning into dancing. Can you see the difference between the two? That's why you see the connections of all these things here. Theologically, when you understand, the full explains the condensed. And you see where the problem is. No soundness in my flesh. Feeble, severely broken because of the turmoil of my heart. My desire before you, sighing not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. The light of my eyes gone from me. Finish. Now that is the state where he is. And then he realizes that's not a way to pray. See, when people raise questions like that to God, they're usually not very wise statements. Right? Will the dust praise you? Really? God is so desperate, you need somebody, without you, cannot do anything? God doesn't need us. There is prayer for mercy. Can you see this? Right? Consider this. Verse 13, I, like a deaf man, do not hear. Mute do not open mouth. Man who does not hear, mouth no response. See, there's some people like that. You talk to them, no response, no response, no response. Foolishness, iniquity, sin. That's how it is. But question the problem, we don't recognize them as sin. Why? In other words, did people warn David? Absalom was planning an attack. Yes. He didn't listen. And people give words of warning. You don't want to listen. Then that is your folly. That is your foolishness. You're not paying attention. You're caught up with your own thoughts. That's what we're seeing. So now we see Psalm 30. See, then we begin to realize what it means. This is just a truncated idea and a short condensed thing here. And we'll see this very clearly. Right? I cried out to you. Okay, I made supplication. So 8, I start here. Right? But as I pray, I reason within my own heart, my own thoughts. You see, I wandered away already. See, that's a danger. We always start something good, then we wander away. We don't realize that that is iniquity over our heads. Then you get lost. What's the best thing to do? Go back. What's the best plea to make? Have mercy on me. You see this in Psalm 3. No mention of mercy. Psalm 4, mercy. Multitude of mercies. Now we see a back to mercy again. See, so you've got to trace a psalm bit by bit how these words come in. Sometimes the word is found, sometimes the word is lost, then you refine it again. Right? Look, let's take a look at Psalm 3, 4, and 5. You just see this very, very clearly. Okay? Let's consider this. Psalm 3, he begins with, Lord, he begins with a problem. How they have increased who trouble me. Many who rise up against me. Then we read, when he was talking about the Lord as a shield. And then Psalm 4, have mercy on me, hear my prayer. Psalm 4, now he changes. All right? Into his need for mercy. Psalm 5, multitude of mercy. 5, 7. So no mention of mercy, not consciousness of it. Then some consciousness of it, some great consciousness of it. Now Psalm 30, begin with supplication. You know, will the dust praise you? What profit is there in my blood? Why are you talking like that? See, the sense of mercy lost again. It's very easy to lose that strand of thought. Just like that. And it goes back again, verse 10, Lord have mercy. Be my helper. Mercy is when you realize you are at the last tethers. You are last leg, last bit. If the Lord doesn't stretch out his hand to raise you up. Now remember, this is something that we want to think about. The whole idea of it all is talk about dedication. Right? Let's take a look and see it, and we'll see what happens here. There are many memories, many thoughts. What do you think about? What do you remember? And you begin to realize how many times folly has come in, how many times sins, how many times iniquity, how many times all those things which are uncalled for, foolish things will come right in anyway until it bring you back to what? Basic mercy again. Right? Can you see this? So he goes back to basic mercy again. Missing in 3, some in 4, big in 5, and some again here. You know, you would think that you have learned something along the way, but the problem is you haven't. So you are still the same old person you are. That's why in Isaiah 26, let grace be shown to the wicked, nothing will come out of it. We keep on missing the point. Right? That is our biggest problem. So the Lord has to help him all the time, again and again and again. Right? And so this is something. See, one of the ways in which God does it is to hide his face. Okay, David, you're on your own. Go ahead and see what happens. If you weren't sensitive, your heart will be troubled. You can't even feel. You feel nothing. Nothing. You won't even feel because that your spiritual state is worse than you think. This is where mercy is needed so badly. See? So he goes back to the basic idea of mercy once again. You see, this is a question of this thing. What is this thing? These are just desperate pleas because he realizes he's near death. But that line of reasoning, that line of thought will lead you nowhere. Where would that lead you? If you follow that line of reasoning. You mean by you can reason help from God? Is that right? If I reason with you, God, you will help me. Can I reason with you? Are you serious? What can you reason with God? See, so you would ask yourself. Obviously, there are desperate signs. You're trying to reason your way out. You're just reasoning God's mercy out. You know what? They don't work. So when we look at what prayer really is, the most important, the most basic word of God is have mercy. Right? What's my word every time I write Micah? Mercy. Because this text is so complex. Right? This is absolutely important. By the time we come to finish all the Bible studies and the camp messages and all that, we will go past 40 pages. Right? What's one big word that is there that I would often make to the Lord? Lord, have mercy, because I'm going to wait myself all the way from chapter 1 to 41. And the thoughts are complex. I'm not going to, well, is there any, I die, just take up one, free a space for somebody else to take over. It's not a point. So I'm not going to pray that prayer. I'm going to say, Lord, have mercy, be my helper. See, that's our problem. We don't seek the Lord as very much of a helper, only in words. Now, that is our challenge. How do we plead for mercy? Absolutely vital. Right? This is something that we need to look at very, 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 very carefully. Okay? All right. The answer to prayer is found in verses 11 and 12. How do you know God has answered? How do you know God has answered? When the mourning becomes dancing, that's how you know. This is very much some, look at earlier Psalm. Look at Psalm 3, for example. Psalm 4, Psalm 3, and you see this. Okay, Psalm 4, verse 7. Psalm 4, 7, we read, you have put gladness in my heart. More than in the season that the grain and wine increase. Now, being a person who is king, he also owns land. And when the crops are bumper crops, when they are abundant crops, good harvest, there is great gladness. But there is a gladness that God gives that is different. Because he calls it more gladness. Very much the idea of the wise men who found that joy exceedingly. See, gladness is a marker. Think of it as a marker. If your life is not radiating with the gladness there, because God did not put it there, it should be there. And this is absolutely important. It should be there. Where is the marker? Right? This is important. And so he said, remember, he was sorrowful. He was near death. For a person to swing from near death to gladness is a huge swing. One went one end of the pendulum to the other.
So look for it. There he was depressive. Next moment, it's full of gladness. Is that a difference? There's got to be a difference. That's something that we need to think about very, very carefully. Okay? It's how you know. You have turned. See, this is how David subtly brings in how God answers his prayers. So throughout the Psalm 30, you constantly see this. So as we talk about, if he dedicated his house, you begin to realize how he remembers this all the time. Okay? One and two. One. Let's look at one first. Okay? And my foes, you have lifted me up. You have not let them rejoice over me. I have gained the victory. I have not been defeated. One. Right? There were times that he was so sick, there was no soundness in his flesh, the sores were really bad, and he said, you have healed me. One, my soul was there, nearly down to the grave, and you know what? You kept me alive. One, two, three already, right? Can you see how he was extolling the Lord? I will extol you. Look at the things. One and two and three. Right. Then, and in verse six, well, four and five is relating to people, getting people to rejoice with him, rejoice in him. I mean, when he dedicated his house, I'm sure he didn't do it alone. And I'm sure he's got friends there with him. So I want to tell you guys, okay, let's rejoice in the Lord and sing to him. And then in verse 6, you dedicate a house, some prosperity. Obviously, right? In my prosperity, hey, I will never be moved. Oh, you blessed me. You made my mountain strong. You granted me your favor. See, then you hit your face. Something went wrong. Right? You hit your face. I was troubled. Right now, wait, I cried out to you. So in my prosperity, I got problems too. I cried out to you and you, okay, then I reasoned with you. What profit is there? Why you talk profit? You're dying. Right? Remind me of a story of a pastor who went to visit somebody who was sick. And they all finally called for him because whole family gathered there. And nobody was there. And then the man wrote a piece of, can ask for a note and a piece of paper down there and wrote to him a little note. And then he died. So everybody was grieving, so he didn't read the note. Then the funeral was conducted a few days later. And then he opened a note. He didn't dare to show the family what the note was. He said, you're standing on my oxygen tube. So, there is a horrifying situation. All right, enough of that kind of stuff. But I hope you understand what we're trying to get at. You see, there are little movements. And we all in life can identify with David like that. Right? Well, there were moments when we were almost overwhelmed. The Lord helped us. When we were ill, the Lord healed us. Right? And the Lord kept us alive. We all know that. And foolishly, we go into prosperity and we rejoice in our prosperity and we forgot about God. And then, when we forgot about God, what happened was that he had to help us to understand, you have forgotten me, David. You don't need me, right? Okay, bye, see you. And so he hid himself. Since you already show you don't need me, no point being around, right? And he began to realize the protection, the shield, the hedge was gone. Oh, I need you again really desperately, Lord. But this time I'm praying differently. I'm reasoning with you. God, you know, if I die then, who's going to praise you? See, sometimes we think of ourselves that way. It's just terrible. Oh, stop. Let's go back to Psalm 3, Psalm 4 again, mercy. Right? Psalm 4, have mercy on me. Psalm 5, I will worship
in a house in a multitude of mercies. Let's go back to what we need to go. Have mercy. Unfortunately, we are defiant, we are rebellious, we spin stories, we tell bad things. What happens? We just compound our sin problem. We make things far worse, unfortunately. Take a look at this six here. So you need to pray. So how do you know God? So this is again here. Again, because of what you need. That's why he said, extol his great goodness. See, in one psalm, so many incidents are remembered, recall, 1, 2, 1, 2. And then suddenly, last part of it, okay, you have put on my sackcloth, clothed me with gladness. You know what a sackcloth is like? It's really situation. In other words, it is a state of total repentance. It's like Atonement Day. Right? I put on sackcloth now. I'm mourning, as it were, as if somebody died. That's the kind of sorrow he went to. How do you know God has answered? To the end that my glory. What's glory? It's restoration of what God would bless. The strength of youth is their glory. Right? So this is what we're looking at. Now we are looking at a situation again, that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Now that is the key thing that we need to look at. So when we pray, it's always good to ask ourselves, look back at your life, whatever number of years you wish to pick, and you will see the same pattern is actually there. You will see this again and again. Our sins, we cry out to the Lord has mercy, the Lord lifted us up. You know what? We go back to the same old problem, sin, another type of sin, another area of sin. We come back to the Lord, he forgives us, and guess what? We repeat again and again. You see this in Psalm 78 so much. This is Israel's history. This is David's history. So when you look at how inconsistent we really, really are, and yet God will constantly forgive and lift us up and take away our sins and our iniquities, you cannot but say to the end, I want my glory will sing, may sing praise to you. Not be silent. See, we always have something nasty to say. We always have something negative to say. We always have something to add on. That's the nasty part of us. Would you get rid of it, please? Because it will do you in one of these days. What does the Lord need to do? See, sometimes a word of admonition won't help. Sometimes it's only when we go through harsh difficulties of life that we learn these lessons well. Words won't, we don't respond to words anymore after a while. You realize this? See, the wise man will increase learning. And sometimes the only way to learn is hard knocks, suffering, pain, sorrow, near death. You know, you just we really don't have to go that way. To the end. What's the end of it all? What's the end? Seriously, as we come to the end of this particular psalm, to the end, what is it all? You see, there is a restoration of glory. Remember Psalm 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Right? Psalm 3 in verse 3. See? To the end, my glory may sing praise. Why would we sing praise? Why? So that we can say, otherwise in the dust, who will praise you? No, that's not how it works. See, the idea of praise is just sure extolling. We are so grateful. Our hearts are full. We cannot but praise the Lord. I mean, really, really cannot happen. Last week I was in Perth, and that's a pretty amazing week. There were people who were reporting the fire here, fire there, scorching, don't get out of the thing. Everywhere was 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. The previous week was 40. Would you believe that the weather was 18 to 20 the whole week? Every day, 18 to 20. It's unbelievable. They said, what? Serious? There were no flies around. You know, usually summer, a lot of flies. Nothing. It's just not there. Let's go back to 38 today.
return the weather to them.
But you know, you just cannot but see the grace, the mercy of the Lord there. It's so obvious. And they look at it and say, this is called summer. I saw people wearing jackets. Or people wearing sweaters. This is summer. When is summer at 18? Only in San Francisco. Who you want to send what we're looking at? And this is something that's pretty amazing. So sometimes we take for granted everything. You know, we expect all the time. So you wear something, you bring something warm, of course now. This is summer, right? And suddenly it took a turn. The cold came instead. They couldn't explain it. But you know what we do? Let's learn to extol the Lord. To the end, my glory may sing praises to you, not be silent. We cannot be silent. We can say, oh Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you. See, the idea of singing, of praise, of extolling is all put together in one psalm like that. You know, they really all go together at the end of it. What we can distinguish at the end of it all, you were meant to be together. We can distinguish. Remember, put them all together and you will understand it better. And I will give thanks to you forever. The word forever will be developed in 145. Verse 1. Right? I will extol you, my God, O King. And I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. See, the idea of forever now develops further into another. See, that's how poems are written. Take one word and then another poem comes. Take another word and another poem comes. See, that's why the heart, once the heart is full of praise, it just comes forth like that. Automatically, you just rejoice in the Lord all the time. That is what we are looking at. See, this is something that we don't want to take for granted in any way. Unfortunately, but we do, unfortunately, not do the things that we should. So what are we learning at Psalm 30? See, when we read the psalm too quickly, we miss out all the details. We become callous in our reading. We don't know how to appreciate. But when you read a psalm bit by bit, portion by portion, a verse here, there, a verse there, look at it, little point, compare, stretch them out, look at them, put them all together. The Psalm 30. By the time you're done with it, you virtually memorize it. But the most important is the practice of it. Right? So it's something that we want to think about. And just really, really, I am just so thankful. So all the Bible study things are done at the camp. I finished all the evening messages except the last one. And I should be done by the whole of this week. It's going to be well over 40 pages. You know what? You know, why do you need to do it so quickly? Because I've got other conferences to prepare for. Right? I've got the pastoral conference in April to work on. And then after that, the same month, I've got to go and speak at a family camp in Perth. They're all different topics. So I'm just grateful. Really, really grateful you can finish. And then at the same time, so many other details to look into. You cannot but say, this is the mercy of the Lord. So every day, my first prayer, every day, Lord, have mercy on me. Not because I can't stand it. No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. I don't mean that I can't do it. What I'm trying to say is, Lord, help me to understand your mercy. Let me understand the multitude of your mercy. How do you seek the Lord? We're going to sing the song very shortly. You seek the Lord as the deer pants for the water brooks. And sometimes you don't seek the Lord until you are overwhelmed. Right? Until, so there is a work for missions in the particular church there. The work needs to be done. So I teach from morning, in the afternoon, as I write, in the evening, I teach again. And, you know, you're just really, really, really challenged. And you thank God. You know, the whole week. Whole week. I didn't sneeze, I didn't cough. And I came back here. Welcome to Singapore. And the cough and the cold and the sneezing came right back on schedule. So I know. So they say, for those who are residents and citizens in Singapore, welcome home. And the sneeze start. Yeah. So I take it with a pinch of salt there. I understand because I'm particularly sensitive. Something is causing this allergy thing to happen. Well, I understand that. You know, so, but, you know, you're just thankful. You're just thankful for whatever you can experience of the reality. You know, I needed that strength. I needed the knowledge. I needed that wisdom. I needed that grace. I needed that mercy. I needed whatever I need to complete all the work I need to finish. I have to. And then it's only the first cut. Okay, now prepare for the camp in a different way, in other aspects. See, so many things to look into. So what's one big word? Mercy. But mercy is not being a recipient. You got to come on. How do you see that mercy? How do you receive it? What's the end? To the end that my glory may sing praise to you. Not be silent. If you just sit there silently, do nothing, that mercy is wasted on you. You didn't say anything. You didn't do anything. You just receive. It's not meant to be. Remember, the Dead Sea received a lot of water. There's no outlet. That's why it's dead. Receiving and not giving back results in deadness, obviously. Right? So I really hope that we will really be challenged. What is our glory? Our glory surely is in so many ways. It's not just affluence. Let's find that glory in singing to the Lord and praising the Lord. Let our lives bring and reflect His glory. That's the best. Let all we can do, let all we can be reflect what God has done in our life. That is how we understand it. That to the end, right? God will restore you. God will give you glory back, David. What would you do with it? Praise Him. Not be silent. That's why he wrote Psalm after Psalm. That's why he translated his gratitude in work. He translated into, let me do something for you, Lord. If I can sing, I can praise, I will do that. And that's what he did. Forever. It's not a, I'm so tired. Nope, it's a forever situation. I think this is something to thank God for. Okay, so this is something that we really want to try. So next week we won't have because it's Chinese New Year Eve. The week after we go to Myanmar, see? And guess who will be teaching? We're going to try the intern pastors. So please turn up. And then tell me how they did or didn't do. And may the Lord have mercy. See, otherwise you wouldn't understand what mercy is. See, this is all part of their whole introduction to ministry and other things. And so that's what it is. Anyway, so this is something that we want to take on. So I told them PMC probably a bit difficult. Because they just got married not so long ago, kind of thing. What words of wisdom are you going to give to a, you know, not a whole lot just yet. So, but we, that one can wait. Okay. But it's only a small cluster, so not so bad. So this is something that, but over here, I want you to learn. How can you understand it? Practice that mercy. Right? So they'll be talking about trust. How does that work? Nah, you see, they're practicing already. Lord, I'm going to trust you for your mercy. So then, you see, then you know that the words will come out from their life because they need the mercy and they need the trust and they're going to speak about it. How about that? Well, think about this. Tonight we're going to sing it together again. And what's that number we have? If you don't mind, let me have. What's the number? Oh, century, please. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, it's all right. Thank you. Okay, and this one talks about as the deer. And I want to encourage us all. You know, that's the best way to seek the Lord. I like the words of this thing here. See, most of us seek the Lord as and when, if and when. It's not how it should be. The really best way to seek the Lord is as the deer pants for the water, for the waters, which we will come out at the family camp up very shortly. Okay? My soul longs after you. See, the best way to seek the Lord is when you really long after the Lord. Right? Mine is sheer volume of work. Right? Really sheer volume of work. How much? I probably wrote over 60, 70 pages of work last week. That's what it is. Sheer necessity. Mine is not just longing, oh, Lord, help. Mine is real mercy. I really badly. But that's the only way. Right? And yeah, this is important. And look at the second part of them. See, when they talk about you alone are my heart's desire, it's so important. Later on, David will start cleansing himself bit by bit until his sole desire is the Lord. He risked the wrath of his wife, that a wife despised him for dancing. And he said, I will be even more vile in the sight of the Lord, not before your eyes. Wow, that was something else. This is 2 Samuel. We read this. Okay? And then I like the second, you know, you're my friend, my brother, even though you are a king. Right? This idea of kingship of God was what was the turning point for Isaiah to say, woe is me. That the fact is the Lord is king. See, it's lost on us, unfortunately, that then you can say, I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. And then you really cry out to the Lord, Lord, you alone are my strength, my shield. These are the language of, literally, the language of Psalm 3. But you alone, right? But you, Lord, are my shield. And this is what it is. You alone, my alone, my spirit, to you alone, my spirit yield. Okay, so think about these things here. And then that's how we love the Lord. It's only when we really love the Lord meaningfully like this, will he actually become so much more real. Think about this. Well, let's sing this as our prayer before we close tonight. Yeah?
Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the many lessons we learn from the scriptures. Father, thank you for opening up your word to us to help us catch a glimpse of how checkered a life David had and how he really, really needed your mercy, your grace, your love given to him. And Father, we confess that we are not better in any sense of the word. And Father, we pray that you will wash and cleanse us and help us to learn to pray aright, to watch the wandering of our thoughts, our words, our heart, and to come right back to where we need your mercy most of all. And we pray that this psalm will always be a part of our life, that we will learn many, many deep lessons about how we should pray and how we should look at our life and go back to you again and again, to you, until you have given to us answers. We pray that you will put gladness in our heart too. It's a marker to know that you have forgiven and that you're with us. And we pray that marker of gladness will become a fruit of our life always. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's wishing everybody a happy new year. We don't get to see you. And may you have, would not say a prosperous new year, because remember, you can be like a mountain and you fall. Just want to wish you the Lord's gladness. I really wish you the Lord's gladness, and this gladness will be a marker of your life. Right? Take away that gladness. It's like the Lord helping us. He's hiding his face. So may you always have the gladness, you know. Not in the goodies you might eat. You want to be careful, okay? So me, Chinese New Year, I'm not going to eat any of those stuff. Right? So is it possible? Yes. Why? Necessity. Well, see, so we're just driven. And when the Lord grants you, the Lord, his blessings and his gladness. All right? Good night and God bless.